Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The Taoiseach again this morning reiterated his commitment to the government running its full term. He said on Morning Ireland, "We are elected to serve in office until the 22nd of March 2025. But the expectation persists in political circles that we could be hitting the polls in November. So what's it going to be? March or November?" Well, we've two political experts with us now with two very different views on it all here in the studio. Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor with the Irish Independent, and Alison O'Connor, journalist and commentator. Thank you for coming in. Fionnán says March. Alison, you say November.
Mm-hmm.
Off you go now. Fight it out.
Well, By ruling it out, he ruled it in today.
It's
all over
Fionnán's
now.
Fionnán's on my side now.
It's November now.
Well, you've changed your mind.
That's it. Oh, yeah. Once you hear the Taoiseach denying
just
it,
call me Mystic Meg.
You know that it's true. Now, look, I would still say we're kind of at 90% certain. There's still a strong possibility that you continue on to March. A couple of reasons.
Sorry, hang on a second. The Taoiseach said this morning, we're running our full term to March.
Yeah.
And that has changed your
mind
absolutely. And you don't believe it's going to be in March.
There's absolutely no way now that this is going to March after I heard him saying that. You know, oh, we'll run our full term. Oh, Jesus Christ, that's not happening. I've always been a sceptic about this. Long before there were bike sheds being bought out the back of Leinster House, I was up in an office up on the third floor there back before the 2002 general election. And every Friday, a fella used to come in declaring that the government was about to collapse imminently and the general election would be called that weekend. And this went on for 9 months. And ever since, I've been very sceptical about the idea that people can predict exactly when a general election is going to take place. I've always been of the view, you see out your full term, as Bertie Ahern did on two occasions, as John Bruton should have done. And in the Kenny, one way or another, notably the last general election was caused actually by Simon Harris being an appalling Minister for Health and Emotional Confidence being going to put down them. The advantage of seeing it out to March is you serve a full term, you say to people, we are a stable government, this is what we are offering. You can have us who gives you a level of certainty, or you can have that crowd over there and you don't know what what you're getting.
And there are other factors at play which would argue in favour of March, which we'll come to in a minute. But you say November, Alison.
Yeah. Look,
unwavering view.
I think to people outside of the bubble, it's as near as damn it. And generally, if you were to walk down Grafton Street now and ask people who are non-politically involved, do you care whether it's November or January? They couldn't give a toss. I also think that from engaging with a lot of people this week and this real sense that are, you know, that things are back, even though the Dáil isn't yet back, the political system will have an aneurysm if there isn't an election.
Because expectations are so high.
Now, having said that, a lot of senior people from the three coalition parties will tell you they just don't know, that it is ultimately Simon Harris's prerogative.
It's in the gift of
He's
one man.
He's the one that goes to the to the park. But I think another interesting thing that has entered the equation for me from talking to people in the last 24 hours is this sense that Simon Harris is trying to almost dare Micheál Martin in particular to end up calling it so that he isn't the one seen to call it. Now, all of this is complicated by the fact, I suppose, that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are now openly acknowledging that they will be going into an election campaign looking for transfers off each other and pretty much joined at the hip. So you can't end up having a big falling out and then, you know.
Yeah, because they'll be offering the same again.
So what I was hearing from the Fine Gael side is, oh, this won't be like with Enda Kenny and Joan Burton, where he says November and she says no. And it ends up being delayed, that this will be, you know, that he will consult. But by consulting, you're then drawing the others in and you're sharing the blame. But I honestly think that this notion of the blame or his credibility, if he keeps saying March and it's November, it's a 3 minute wonder. You know,
you don't think people will be bothered by that, because
would
you would
they,
wonder
like,
that
would
the more
toss,
the more know? He insists that it will be at the end of this term.
Yeah.
You wonder, is it more damaging for him if he comes out in a few weeks and says, actually, we're going to have an election in November?
Not really. I don't. I mean, if it was two years out. I would say, yes, it will have, you know. And I suppose the point is, everything, even the fact of her that the Fine Gael super draw, normally you'd have until November to get your money back in from the constituencies. that deadline has been brought way back.
This
to
is
September.
Their fundraising this draw. Is 80, they're selling tickets.
It's
for
80 it. Euros. But as a TD said to me yesterday, the difficulty in that now coming back and the prospect of an election.
Sorry, they've brought the draw back. The deadline
for getting your money
for
the sales of the tickets. So, but as a TD said to me yesterday, it's tricky because somebody who might give them a donation of 100 will now be giving 80 for the ticket. And the ticket is 80. And they said, like, I could get 8 to, depending on what I got, I could be buying 8 to 10 posters. They said a poster is a tenner, including your cable ties. So that was just a small. So the point is, everything is, he can basically kind of go, we're having the budget, which we know is earlier. The finance bill can be speeded up.
Mm-hmm.
So he can do it in November or he can do it in March.
Listen,
nobody seems to know for sure.
I was struck
by this, but
my
money is on November.
This picture in The Independent today of Simon Harris speaking down at the thinking. It's a doorstep where he's speaking to journalists, Fionnán, and he's surrounded by people. Now, there are some familiar faces there of senior cabinet, but an awful lot of these people are new faces. And is that not a problem for them if they go in November for Fine Gael?
Yeah.
People don't know these candidates.
It's they're actually contradicting themselves. If you go back to the local elections, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil argued that, well, the reason that they did well, reasonably well, not as bad as they thought, was because they had incumbents, people with well-established track records who had personal vote and therefore they held on to their council seat. If you go back over time, particularly during the end of Kenny leadership phase, candidates were selected well in advance. You were quite clear who you're, and they built up their profile over time. Rather than having a councillor who's just known in his own town, but isn't known in the next town over or at the south of the county. Now Fine Gael are basically dumping a whole load of candidates into the field who aren't even necessarily known beyond their own local
but
area.
That's a reason
so
to
is,
wait, isn't
that
it?
That is a reason to wait to build up those people's profiles. Indeed, you could argue, is there a reason to wait because Simon Harris himself needs more time as Taoiseach as well?
The counter to that for me, it was looking at Kamala Harris this week, who had a really good performance at the debate. But we saw with the New York Times Siena poll, you know, that after the incredible positivity when she took over the candidacy from Joe Biden, all the excitement, even excitement on social media, there wasn't that much of a bounce and that things had begun to flatline a bit. I mean, I think that is, I think Simon Harris without doubt has brought, as he'd say himself, a new energy. But how long can that go on? And I also even wonder how long physically can Simon Harris maintain this exhausting pace that he's had going on, you know, where he's basically, you see him here, you see him there, blink, he's gone on to the next place. And that we see from the extraordinary kite flying that's going on in relation to the budget on the part of all the parties, particularly Fine Gael, that expectations are really being built up for the budget. We had the Apple judgment this week, all that extra money. There is a real political danger in him waiting in terms of something unexpected happening.
There's an issue beyond that photo you're referring to of him with his new candidates, half of whom you don't recognise. That's the people who are not there. Kerry's not sorted out. Mayo is not sorted out. Wicklow is not sorted out. Simon Harris's own running mate, to where he's expected to, or supposedly should win a second seat. So he doesn't even have his own tickets resolved, supposed to have done by the end of this month. So you are seeing there is a bit of a rush. And that will impede Fine Gael. Simon Harris is working off the basis that rising tide will lift all boats. They'll get into the mid to high 20s. Therefore, the seats will tumble. But you win, the seat bonuses come about by established candidates who are well known, who bring a personal
pulling somebody
vote with
else
them,
in.
And that's how you win a disproportionate number of seats. That's what Micheál Martin is banking on. Micheál Martin is looking at this election very differently. He's got a very well-established slate of candidates in the vast majority of cases, people who ran last time and who didn't get elected running again this time, and he's banking on, well, we mightn't get a massive vote, but we'll certainly maximise it to its limits.
Right. I have a couple of listeners getting in touch wondering about the by-elections that have to be held, which legally have to be held. What's the deadline on them?
Well,
at the end of December, is it?
You can get it into January
at a push.
At a push. if you take it that the MEPs didn't formally resign until technically June / July, that can get you into January. By January then, you only have to call the by-election within 6 months of them resigning. You then call the by-elections, but then that is superseded by a general election being called. That's messy. Mm-hmm. That would basically be saying, oh, we're going to call a by-election, but then it's not really going to happen because 2 weeks later we're going to call a general election. The likelihood is that by the end of October, the Taoiseach is going to have to say one way or another, yeah, we're having up to a half dozen by-elections or we're having a general election. Which is it? That will be the question to him.
Now, I think that is something people would certainly notice. People would prefer, I think if you're to say to somebody who doesn't even pay that much attention to politics, look, we have an option here. We can have six by-elections or we can just say to hell with that and have a general election. You know, I think people
would go
in terms
for the
of
general
cost and everything. Mm-hmm. They would certainly go for the general. I think that I suppose people are. It's part. You can see this process going on now, where in terms of trying to get people turned on politically by using money. I heard Simon Harris saying on Morning Ireland this morning, when he's interviewed by Aoife Lawler, he used the phrase. He said, "I won't apologise for giving people a helping hand with their own money." So basically, acknowledging, you know, that
it'll
they
be a
will
giveaway.
Be, it will be. It will be. So that you're creating, again, going back to what I was saying earlier, it's creating a momentum. It's creating an expectation. And it is a very fine call as to how long you allow that to progress,
yeah, you,
before you try and reap the benefits.
I think you mentioned the Apple money. It's not going to be in the state account for a couple of months, but will it be a factor in the election campaign? Because you can sort of spend money that's coming, right?
Oh, I mean, I think they need to decide very quickly and announce what they're going to do with that money, because otherwise it gives a wide open door to the opposition, without a doubt, to say what. I mean, I suppose obviously they'll have to say some of it is going to housing, but I think people would see the sense in it also going to something more long term. I don't know, like wind farm technology, and also to maybe to the climate fund and that. But they will most certainly, I think the sooner they try and get that out of the playing for the budget, the better. But that isn't to say that it will be, you know, that gets rid of it.
You're certainly not going to leave it to chance that you won't be back in office and that somebody else can then spend it. A brand new government comes in and goes,
so
great.
Imagine
Keir Starmer being
point.
In this situation, coming into office and suddenly you realise, no, there's a lovely golden goose sitting there waiting for
so
me.
So you've got to commit it to something fairly
you
soon.
You have to say what you would do with it when it will arrive into the bank account. So what they're trying to do at the moment is saying, well, we won't have it in time for the budget, but we will have it sometime after that. So let's not factor it into the budget remedy, because that just makes it far too complicated.
Now, can we just talk about if the election were in November, what date in November it would be?
So November the 8th is Ireland versus the All Blacks. So you can't have it that day. It's
well,
at
you
8
could.
O'clock that night. You can't. You'd lose at least 4 seats for Fine Gael. We lost on the south side of Dublin with people gone to the match and down in Gleeson's Booter Sound watching the match. So that rules that one out. So if you go back to October the 1st, budget day, you're going to need at least 2 to 3 weeks to pass even an amended finance bill to get that through, and probably at least put the social welfare bill on the table to get as much of the budget passed as possible, so that it's not just promises, it's actual commitments.
So
that
we get
that
done
that
in
passed.
2 weeks. I've got my calendar open here now.
Get it
so
done in 2 to 3 weeks.
We're up to the 15th of October.
Give it 3 weeks. I think
22nd.
I think you need to show that the finance bill is actually credible. It's not just an election manifesto. So then you're coming up to, let's say the 22nd. Give it 3 weeks. 22nd of October, thereabouts, you need to start indicating, well, what exactly are you doing? Clocks go back October 27th. The Halloween midterm break kicks in that week from the 28th through to the 2nd. So you need to be indicating, are you looking at November 15th or are you looking at November 22nd? It seems the notion of a Saturday election is kind of gone a bit cold a bit.
The 15th is a Friday.
The 22nd is a Friday.
But regardless, you're saying at the end of October, he'd have to say, I'm having the by-elections, and that'll give us our answer.
You need to give an answer on the by-elections one way or another, because people can legitimately say there is the Pearse Doherty ruling from 15 years ago that says you have to hold the by-elections within 6 months. So the opposition party leaders will be legitimately asking Taoiseach and the Dáil, when exactly are you holding the by-elections to give people their democratic right to be represented by TDs?
Alison.
We agree on those dates.
The 8th, 15th or 22nd?
Yeah, I'd be inclined to think the 22nd myself, but I mean, I wouldn't fall out with Fionnán over the dates that he... One thing I did hear in the last 24 hours, which I thought was interesting when you consider budget dynamic and just even the dynamic between the two parties and this idea of what I was saying about them going to the country, you know, as a package deal, and that in the past, we'll say Pascal Donoghue and Michael McGrath got on extremely well, and you know, in previous incarnations. That I'm hearing this more from the Fine Gael side, that maybe Pascal and Jack Chambers. Pascal and Jack Chambers. Maybe it's not the warmest of relationships yet.
Oh, they'll be on to us.
You know,
now
that
to
even
say
that idea that Jack announced the budget date, Pascal was on a flight, I heard, and it was the first he knew. I mean, he obviously knew the budget date, it had been discussed, but that he was going to announce it. Again, something else he knew, that the bank levies were here to stay. But that, you know, again, this is something that Jack came out and announced, so that maybe their interpersonal relationship could do with that. Maybe they could, as the previous, when Eamon Ryan was in government and Leo and Micheál, they always spoke about how they never got to go for a pint. Maybe Jack and Pascal.
Yeah, there was background fussiness between Michael McGrath and Pascal Donoghue as well, particularly around that issue of the chairing of the Eurogroup and the membership of it. Fine Gael tried a stunt there, and you know, you ended up with a compromise. So you'd imagine that the two main parties, apart from having agreement on broad fiscal parameters, there won't be any more than that. They won't be presenting themselves to people as a government. They will be contesting the election as individual parties.
They'll be in here, the two ministers, the day after the budget. So I'll let you know how they're getting on that day.
Will you get a body language?
I'll have a full report for you the day after the budget.
Let's just park everything else and consider one thing. The person who is the Taoiseach has to give up the Taoiseach's office after only 6 months. The temptation of hanging around for Taoiseach Harris to meet President Harris in Washington in March in the middle of a general election campaign is also tempting.
Would you want to be out of the country, though, during your election campaign?
Bertie Ahern did it back in 2007, did him no harm at all. You get to look statesmanlike on the international stage.
Your first election, though, as leader of your party and as outgoing Taoiseach, could be a high-risk strategy.
You only go 48 hours in and out.
Do it quickly, yes.
And what if it was Donald Trump you were meeting?
Well, then you might give it a skip and wait till after Paddy's in. The new Taoiseach can do it.
Alison, I just want to talk to you about Fianna Fáil, because Fionnán said earlier that, if I'm being fair to you and what you said, that they're in a more comfortable position going into this electorally because people are very familiar with their candidates. They're not in the same boat as Fine Gael with lots of retiring people. Do you agree with that assessment? Do you think he's right there?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. If you think back to this time last year, Fianna Fáil, the dynamic was more, will Fianna Fáil be looking at potentially, the question was being asked again of like Micheál Martin, Sinn Féin, the relationship with Mary Lou, or possibly Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. It's changed now very much so too. I mean, we haven't even mentioned Sinn Féin in this discussion, which really says an awful lot, that it's much more a Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael. So yes, they are certainly more comfortable. I suppose the fact that we also haven't discussed Michael McGrath's potential commissionership and that being announced, but that Micheál sending Michael McGrath off to Brussels, his main leadership rival, bringing in Jack Chambers, everybody seeing that as him, as Jack being sort of his protege and being prepared. So I suppose for potentially as a next leader. So I think they're certainly look to be on an even keel at the moment. My sense, and certainly even just from the mutterings from Brussels, is that there is a real danger that Michael McGrath will suffer as a result of his colleagues
not voting for Ursula
von der Leyen. Also the manner in which we went about it, you know, by not consulting first, not sending a woman. And I think all things that were potentially avoidable. I remember that night hearing Billy Kelleher during the election campaign at a debate, you know, saying he wouldn't vote for Ursula von der Leyen, and thinking, why is he taking that? I thought tactically it was, you know, an interesting decision. It's not going to put the election dial up or down, but I think it will be egg on Micheál Martin's face.
Well, we'll know within days, I think, what role he gets. Well,
so Ursula von der Leyen gave us a fine big commissionership 5 years ago with Phil Hogan as competition commissioner at the time. That was a massive portfolio for a seasoned commissioner, and we decided for our own reasons to get rid of him. So, I mean, she doesn't really owe us anything, you'd have to say.
All right, well, that remains to be seen. Thank you both very much indeed. Betting on a November election, I think. You're not going back to March,
no,
are
I'm you? I'm sticking with March. I'd rather be the one, the holdout here.
Oh my God, you've changed within 10 minutes. He's changed from November to March. I think we're all in the same boat, though. Graeme Hurtridge will be with us talking about his new book after this.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.